Theological Seminary, been involved with the church in a very intimate way as a minister. He did the best act that he did was to marry a girl from Galveston. And so when they retired, they came to Galveston. And he's been with us. He's well known in the field of ethics. He goes various parts of the United States to teach ethics to police departments as well as to school systems. We call him Larry, but he's a man of great talent and experience, and he's our speaker today. We've kind of made a tradition that on the first Sunday of every year, Larry Smith sort of sets the tone for the year. Larry?
Thank you. As always, Alan, you're more than generous. One of the things that our lesson today is going to be on gratitude. One of the things I'm most grateful to God for is my relationship with this man. I am most grateful to God because he's shown me about generosity, Alan, and generosity in all measures. And Alan has become, for me, not only a mentor, but a dear friend. We began this tradition, I suppose, in 2003, first time we did it, and have done it continuously since then, except for a brief interlude when I went to Cameron Road in Austin for about 5 years, and then returned here. So from 2003, what we tried to do was to establish for the congregation a goal or a common effort in terms of strengthening ourselves as a congregation and strengthening ourselves as individuals. And I have nothing but the utmost respect for my friend Alan Isbell. And you know, if you start going down his list of accolades, you just wouldn't stop. But those of you who know him know what I mean. Those of you who don't know him, meet him. Very special man, very special treat. And of course, the rock that holds him steady and holds him together, Miss Mikey. All right. as they all do. That's perfect. Today, we want to talk about, as has been the custom, was to designate a word or a concept for us to forge together with, to fortify ourselves and fortify the congregation. Last week, I gave you all, well, everybody that was here, an assignment. Everyone was supposed to think of 10 blessings from last year. 10 blessings, because, you know, regardless to the year, regardless to the time, we all have difficult situations, but we also have many blessings. And sometimes we overlook the blessings because of the hardships, and we overlook those blessings. So I wanted you to focus on those 10 blessings, because then this lesson will be that much more meaningful to you. Our word for today is gratitude. Gratitude. And we will explore, define, and apply this word, gratitude, in all concepts, in all aspects of our lives. Because this word, gratitude, has a heavenly meaning. Because in order to be grateful, first you must surrender yourself. Because then you don't think you did it by yourself. Someone, it was a gift to you. And we'll look at it from a spiritual perspective, we'll look at it from a practical perspective, and we'll look at it in many instances from every perspective we can possibly think of. If you recall that you were supposed to do those 10 blessings, break them out if you have them. If you don't have them, don't worry about it. Pick it up when you get back home, because I know you did it. Gratitude is an attitude, not a response. That's the title of this lesson. Gratitude is an attitude, not a response. We often think of gratitude as a response for someone doing something for us. We're grateful. Actually, gratitude is an attitude that happens before someone does something for us. What do I mean by that? It means that the process of realizing gratitude as an attitude begins with the awareness that we have a choice. The choice being to be grateful or not to be grateful. When we acquire, when we're exposed to things that we think are gratifying to us. We can either be grateful or not be grateful. The next step requires the necessary stillness within ourselves so that we can do the internal work of being grateful. Being grateful is an internal process with external exhibition, but it's an internal process of being grateful. Then the feeling of gratitude becomes a conscious attitude and expressed through our actions. There is also a paradoxical aspect to gratitude. And that paradox is the more grateful we are, the more reasons we have to be grateful. The more grateful we are, the more reasons we have to be grateful. This attitude brings about a relationship with God, the source of all good. The source of all good and the source from which all good comes. There's a theme of gratitude throughout the scriptures, theme of thanksgiving in the Bible that appears in several different places that I highlighted. First of all, it's Psalm 181:1 was my text, anchor text. And it says, give thanks to God for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to God because he's good and his love endures forever. Regardless of circumstance, give thanks to God because he is good and his love endures forever. Paul says to the church in Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It is God's will that you are thankful. He also says, make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God for the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5:19-20. To the church at Colossae, he talks about this theme of three different types in one brief passage, three different types of thanks in one brief passage. He says here in Colossians 3:15-17, and be thankful, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all the wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So we're to be a grateful people. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians again, 3:15-17. So this morning we're going to train each other in how to develop this attitude of gratitude. It'll be a training session for us. Maybe there are individuals God will bring to your mind as we go through this process. It may be a family member, maybe a coworker, maybe a teacher. It may be an experience or a time that you were suffering and God comforted you. Think of a small gift, an encouraging word from somebody, a phone call someone gave you, a text, a good night's sleep you may have had when you had much on your mind. Food that you may love. Maybe the gift is life-changing, like faith or the Bible. The death of Jesus on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe that's the gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit as a guide to us as Christians. Spiritual gifts or the gift of the church. Hopefully through today's message, the Lord will nudge you with something you're grateful for. When he does, make a mental note. Make a mental note. The Lord nudges you as we move through the lesson. Gratitude itself flows from God's presence. My first thought is this. More gratitude will not come from more things, but from more awareness of God's presence and God's holiness. More gratitude will not come from more things. You cannot accumulate enough things to make you more grateful. It's important to know that gratitude is a perception of the good. You cannot manufacture gratitude by willpower, even though a lot of people try to do that. Gratitude is a byproduct of a way of seeing things. And some of you have heard me say in our lessons is, the way you see a thing is the way you see that thing. Whether that is true or not to you, that's the way you see it. So the way you see a thing is the way you see it. Whether it's valid or not, in your mind, the way you see it. Christian worldview, though, is always involves three factors. These three factors come from a Latin word, bene, meaning good, the Latin word bene. Gratitude always involves three benes. The first, gratitude involves benefit. Benefit. In order for us to be grateful, we must receive a gift. We must believe it's a good thing to receive, and we must find it favorable. It's a benefit. Our lives are filled with benefits from God, although we're blind to them most of the time. Gratitude requires that we recognize them and know that they are good. The second aspect of gratitude is benefactor. Benefit, benefactor. Benefactor is related to our word for factory, which means one who does good. To be grateful, we must believe not just that the benefits are coming our way, but that they don't come randomly or by accident. They come from somebody, a benefactor. And we must believe this benefactor has good intentions towards us. And if I'm not to be a grateful person, I must believe that about God and those things that come our way, that he is a benefactor that wants only what's best for me. The writers of the Bible are convinced they have a great benefactor. James says this fabulous statement, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly heights." This is an expression of his goodness. A good God exists, and he's always giving to us. Whether we acknowledge it or not, a good God exists and is constantly giving to us. There's a third element that constitutes gratitude. First, we had the benefit. You must have the benefit, then you need a beneficiary. The third aspect is what? Can you guess? You need a beneficiary. You need someone who receives it. One who receives the good, that's us, the beneficiary of the benefactor who gives us a benefit. We're the beneficiary of the benefits of God, who has our best interests at heart. They do not earn or merit or deserve. We must believe that we're receiving something that we can't earn, something that we cannot buy, merit, or deserve, for it to be a gift. Gratitude itself grows in humility. It takes a humble spirit to understand that it was not by your own devices to be grateful. Gratitude always involves an attitude of humility. If I believe I'm owed something, I will not be thankful for it once I get it because I think I'm entitled to it. Now, some of you have heard one of my favorite adages, grateful people rarely hurt people. Those who feel that they're entitled will hurt you physically, emotionally, spiritually. Those who feel that they're entitled will hurt you. Grateful people rarely hurt people. If you just give me a car for no reason, I'd be overwhelmed with gratitude, but I'd probably say, "Thank you, I can't believe how good you are to me." But now, if I buy a car from you at market value, when you hand me the keys, I might say, "Yeah, we have a deal. I hope it doesn't break down on me, but will I get my money back?" But you won't hear me say, "I am grateful to you," because I feel as though you owe that to me since I paid you. The sinful human race naturally feels entitled. That's the battle we must battle against. The feeling of entitlement. By whatever measure we choose, and we choose so many different measures to feel ourselves as being entitled. It may be ethnicity, It may be status, it may be job, it may be many different things we do to elevate ourselves to feel entitled over someone else. That's a worldly concept that is not of God. The more we think we're entitled to, the less we will be grateful for. We wonder, why do people keep getting more and more, show less and less gratitude? People who constantly get more and more, they begin to show less and less gratitude. Why is that? The answer is, the bigger our sense of entitlement, the smaller our sense of gratitude. The more we think we're entitled to something, the more we accumulate things, the less we think of in terms of gratitude, of being grateful to anyone, including God. It becomes a self-serving situation. The bigger our sense of entitlement, the smaller our sense of gratitude. The reason? A sinful mind can convince us that we're entitled to anything we want. And if we don't get something we want, other people must be at fault. Somebody must be holding me back. The reasoning for this sinful mind is they owe me and they ought to pay me. This has led to a proliferation of lawsuits. Civil lawsuits. And we don't get something we really want, we sue somebody. Let me give you a couple of examples. I just plucked these out and thought I'd share these with you. A few years ago, the San Francisco Giants were sued for passing out Father's Day gifts to men only. They were sued because they passed out Father's Day gifts to men only, and there were women present. A female psychology professor sued for sexual harassment because of the presence of a mistletoe at a Christmas party. Said it was sexual harassment. A psychic, a male psychic, was awarded $986,000 when a doctor's CAT scan, he said, impaired his psychic abilities. You have to wonder about that. If he really was a psychic, shouldn't he have known that going to that doctor, it wouldn't work? But that is litigious society that we operate within now. In the Christian framework, ingratitude is not just a psychological problem. It's not just bad emotional experience. It's a sin. Ingratitude is a sin. Paul says it's the hallmark of a life opposed to God. The Bible's word for ingratitude is grumbling. The Bible's word for ingratitude is grumbling. Paul says that grumbling is the model mindset of a life without God. Have you ever heard of a church person grumbling? Don't answer. But have you ever heard of a church person grumbling? You can be lured away from God by grumbling quicker than almost anything else. Paul says to the church at Corinth, and do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. How many of you right now feel a little uncomfortable by those who grumble? Gratitude itself leads to a life of blessings. Deuteronomy 6:4-5 says, hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, because he is our great benefactor, our great giver. They were training for gratitude at that time, the Israelites were. And we have to constantly train for gratitude, to see instances of gratitude so that we can feel grateful. And what it means is the more we feel grateful, the less we think of ourselves as being more than we are. That's the insane foolishness of our day. Gratitude comes when you see reality. All benefits come from a wonderful benefactor. All that is good comes from a wonderful benefactor, of which we, the grace-given beneficiaries, we are the recipients. The general principle that they lived by was to bless God for every gift. If you read in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, because Jesus brought me, as a matter of fact, we just did a custom a moment ago when we gave the Lord's Supper, of thanking God for every gift. Every gift. The rabbi said, he who enjoys anything from creation which is without blessing commits a misuse. It's a form of theft. And this is all marked in Jesus' life, how he observed this. Again, we see this between the lines in the New Testament. At the Last Supper, we're told, but when they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks for the bread, he broke it. Later in the same meal, then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, the meal continued. At each offering, Jesus gave thanks, showing gratitude as a lesson for us, the same way we just did with the Lord's Supper. At each emblem, we said thanks because we're saying thank you for each part. And that's what we have to do. We can't do a blanket prayer and say thanks for everything. It won't work. Gratitude arises, first of all, out of imperfection. In particular, we're to bless God for people, all people. No one is in your life by happenstance. Every person in your life is there by purpose. There are no accidental acquaintances. The life with God has a lot to do with people. We should thank God for the people we get along the way, we'll get along with easily. We thank God for those that we get along with easily. And we should also thank God for the people that are hard for us to get along with. We thank God for those who are hard to get along with. Because what does it do? It makes you appreciate more those that are easy to get along with. And what it also does, it draws you closer to God, because sometimes you just throw your hand up and say, God, I don't know what to do. Here's another thought on gratitude. Life with God will help us to learn to be grateful for imperfect people and imperfect situations. Because guess what? No person is perfect. Even in our own mind's eye, we can't see ourselves as perfect. No circumstance is perfect. There will always be counterpoints to each circumstance and counterpoints to every relationship. If we wait for the perfect person and perfect circumstance to be grateful, we'll have to wait a long, long time. Then we will remember to pray, God, you're right here. And we don't need to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. Thank you, God, that we get to be alive. Thank you for this world. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Because evil is a good thing sometimes. Suffering is a good thing. No, of course not. Those are bad things, and God is at work. That one day to overcome and overturn all of those. To one day overcome and overturn all of those. Remember, without a storm, you will never know what a rainbow looks like. You will never be able to experience a rainbow without a storm. So when you go through storms, look for the rainbow that follows that storm. When we do that, our threshold for gratitude gets higher and higher, which causes us to become more and more grateful. Being transformed by God means learning to see ways in which God is at work, even in bad situations. And we all suffer from issues. For I know that in all things, God is at work for good. God is at work for good. Only God knows for sure what will turn out to produce good. Only God knows. A lot of times I'll go through something hard and painful and bad, and I wish I didn't have to go through it. Then I'll look back on it and say, oh God, I'm so grateful I didn't miss that. One of the things that, in researching this, found some verses that worked extremely well for our lesson. We're to bless God all the time, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. The grateful life with God is the best opportunity ever offered to the human race. That's the great experiment God is running even now with all of us. He asked, how much will this man, this woman, allow me to carry during an hour of suffering? If we don't answer this question well, we will miss the reason for our lives. As we conclude now, our lesson for today, and I'd like to share this point with you. Thomas Merton read, to be grateful is to recognize the love of God in everything he has given us. And he's given us everything. Recognize the love of God in everything he's given us, and he's given us everything. Every breath we draw is a gift of his love. Every moment of existence is a grace. It brings with it immense graces from him. Gratitude, therefore, takes nothing for granted. It's never unresponsive. It's constantly awakening to see wonderful and praise and for the goodness of God. For the grateful person knows that God is good, not by hearsay, but by experience. And that is what makes all of the difference in the world. Let me shut it down now with a poem that I found that I think would be appropriate. A poem by Melody Beadle. She says, gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. Of course, we owe our ultimate gratitude to God for the ultimate gift, his son, Jesus Christ. So above all, fellow followers of Jesus, whether in plenty or in need, in sickness or in health, wherever you stand, thank God for his gift of Jesus. And be grateful for the balance of this year. Think of ways you can show your gratitude for people who give to you without favor, without merit, without any payback, but they give to you. See ways that you can show your gratefulness, because gratefulness is next to godliness. Because in order to be grateful, first you must submerge yourself, bring yourself a little lower so that you can be grateful. In his matchless life, this gift of Jesus, with his unequaled teachings, his sacrificial death, and his triumph resurrection, we, as a member of his body, have the opportunity to show the world, to be the light to the world about gratefulness. If there's anyone here in need of prayer, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and is prepared to be added to the church. Now's the time to come to the front as we stand to sing our song of encouragement.
What a wonderful way to start the new year. We have a nice lady who wants to place her membership with us, Jill Bova. Jill, stand up so they'll all know who you are. We welcome you as a member of this congregation. She wants to get acquainted with her, and she'll add strength to our number. And we so appreciate her identifying herself publicly as a member of the church and wanting to be a member of this congregation. So when we're dismissed, just be sure and meet Jill and tell her who you are. Huh? Okay. She who must be obeyed said, we'll take her to the back with her and me, so you can, we'll be at the back, and you be sure and and get acquainted with Jill. Now we'll have our closing prayer.
Good morning. What happened here? June and I are so grateful to you folks in this congregation. This brotherhood here is so special to us, and it's so good to be back and see everybody. And we thank you for your prayers and the food and the calls and the cards. I still have every one of them. Thank you. They mean so much. You've all been there at one time or another and had this happen to you, and we just want to express our thanksgiving to you, how much we appreciate and love each and everybody here. Thank you. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, how good it is to be found in your love and in your grace each and every day. And Father, we start this new year, and we started many in the past. We don't know where we'll be this time next year, but we ask you to be with us each day as we walk through this year. You walk with us and guide us in your way and in your truth. Because, Father, we know that someday, as the song says, time shall be no more and the trumpet shall sound and the Lord descend and time will end. We know that day is coming. We take great comfort in that, great joy. That's what we look forward to. We don't know where we'll be found, but we hope we'll be found. We pray we'll be found in your grace. And Father, just to be with each family, each individual here as we go through this year, the things we say and do, the decisions we make, be guided by you. All things that work together for our good if we follow you. You tell us that. We know your word is absolute, no exceptions. And Father, we thank you for your Son Christ and the sacrifice he made. And that's why we're here today, to worship and praise him and pray in his name. Amen.